Welcome to the Road of Faith, my friends. I'm Ken Fletcher. I'm so glad you're here today. And before we get started on the seminar, let's start out with a word of prayer and ask the Father to help us today. Father, we're so thankful for this time that we have to focus on your word today, to focus on the truth of who we are in Christ, how you have made us and created us in Christ, and what you have done in us. Father, we thank you for revelation today, showing us more, get a better picture of who we are, what you've done and what we have now. And we thank you for giving us that that true picture, that true revelation and understanding of who we are in you, Father. We thank you for helping us in everything we're doing today by your direction of your Spirit. And we commit this seminar to you. And we thank you, Father, for blessing our viewer here, whoever's looking at us on this video today. We thank you for them. And we give you praise for what you're doing in their lives. And we thank you for giving them revelation and understanding today. And we give you praise for every good thing you're doing in this seminar, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're here today. I know the Lord's glad you're here today. So we just want to be a blessing to you. And we want to, we're on a journey and we're exploring who we are in Christ and what we have with the Father. And boy, I tell you, this is really, it's an inexhaustible, deep subject of who you are in the Lord and what's in you and how he's created you. Such a deep subject, and we're just barely scratching the surface so far, I think, in the seminar. So I'm so thankful you're here this week. We're just believing the Lord will give us a little more light, a little more revelation of what we got a hold of here and the good things that he's done in us. And so we're looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do in this seminar. So I hope you stay with us throughout the seminar. Amen. Well, last week, you know, I think we kind of ended up over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And my goodness, there was such a huge small verse. It's not a real big verse here in verse 17, but we spend a little bit of time in it. In verse 17 there, it says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." What a tremendous truth. What a thing to try to wrap your head around, that you're one spirit, you're joined in union with the Lord, one spirit with him. My goodness sakes, you remember when he was on the earth, he spoke of this, and we'll talk about some of these things as we go along. But when he was on earth, he talked about these things. He says, "The Father's in me. I'm one with the Father." And of course, we knew that that was through the agency of the Holy Spirit that came upon him, and the fact that he was had always been one with the Father. And when he came into the earth, he was still one with the Father. So before and during the time he was here, he was one with the Father. And he would often say that the words that he spoke were not his own words, but they were the words that the Father had given him to say. He said, "These are not my words. These are the words that the Father has given me to say. These are the Father's words." So he wanted to make sure that, hey, it wasn't just him standing there telling people, but he wanted to let folks know that this is what he's telling me to say. Well, listen, Father is the highest authority anywhere. And, so that's what he wanted us to get a hold of there. Amen. "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." That means, folks, you don't have to try to get somewhere with God. Now, the way you get anywhere with God is by accepting the Lord Jesus and his life. And at that point in time, my goodness, you're in connection with heaven now. You're one with the Lord now. See there, verse 17, "But he that is joined," and we've been joined, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, we've been joined with the Lord, and we are now one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Amen. With the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. I mean, this is just an amazing concept to, these kind of things, you have to meditate on them, to even start to get a hold of it. Now, when I say meditate on it, I mean, just run it over and over in there inside of you, in your mind, you know, just keep running it over and over again in your mind. And that is mulling over it. And what you're doing is you're focusing on the truth. Now, I minister a lot. I tell about the fact that focus is a big deal with a believer. Because you lose your focus on what's real important inside of you, you start getting dissipated. Your focus becomes dissipated from what is coming in from the outside, out here in the material realm. So you have to be in focus. You've got to focus on the truth. Focus on who you are in Christ. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So you focus on these things. You mull over these things. This is a huge thought to think about. Have you realized that? Do you understand that this is, well, that verse right there. My goodness, all that's in this verse right there. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit with the Lord. I mean, this union, this thing he's done in us, this fusion that the Lord has done in us. Oh my, I believe we've only scratched the surface. Most believers, I believe, is only, when I say most, I'm speaking to 98% of us. We have yet to delve in to who we are and what we have and what we can do here in this present life as a child of God, as a son of God, as a female son of God and a male son of God. Yes, we are sons. We're full sons. We're not half sons. No, we're full. Listen, we're as much a son as Jesus is in front of the Father. I know that's a big statement, and it is a big statement, but right here, the Bible tells us, right here, this is what has happened to us. And of course, 1 Corinthians, we're talking about after Jesus has risen from the dead, after he died, after he became sin for us and took on all that wrong, all that messed up stuff that we had, and he took it and took it to hell with him. But then when he came out of there, he came out with new life. New life. And when he came out, this resurrected Christ, when he came out, we came out too with him because we identified with his death. Yes, we did. We went to the cross. Yes, we thank God for the cross. We went to the cross. And we identified with what he was doing there, that he was taking all of our wrong on himself. We identified with him right there. And then when he went to the grave and took all that down to hell with him where we were supposed to go. And he told me one time I was praying, and he told me, I was asking about that. I said, Lord, I said, did you really go to hell? I heard some teaching about this, that, and the other. Some people were saying he didn't. Some people say that he did. I just flat asked him straight up in prayer one night. This has been many years ago. And I said, Lord, did you really go to hell? Did you? He said, yes, I did. He says, because that's where you were. That's where you were. Well, I sat and thought about that after he told me that. And I thought, oh, my Lord, sure enough, man, if it hadn't been for Jesus, that's where I was. That's where I was. And if he hadn't came and intervened, listen, that's where I was. So yeah, he came and he redeemed me and bought me back. And so that I wouldn't have to go. He went so I wouldn't have to go. And now you listen, friend. I'm talking about me, you know, in first person here, about what he's done in my life. But listen, if you've received Jesus, he's done the same thing for you, because that's where you were too, just like I was. Oh, praise God. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful he did what he did. And I put my faith in that, what he did to redeem me, to save me, to bring me out of that. And when I did that, I identified with him in his death. By faith, I identified with him, and you did too. And when we identified with him, he went there for us in our place, representing us. And he came out, and God raised him from the dead in new life. And when he raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? He raised you and I from the dead too. And when Jesus came out, we came out. And this new life that we identified with in Christ is in us now. This thing that happened there that he did because of what he did, there was that great transfer. We became one spirit, one with the Lord. And we were created in Christ Jesus. I mean, just the thought of that happening, I don't understand it all. I mean, I've been looking at this for over 50 years, and I don't understand the wonder of all of this. I mean, the magnitude of it all, it's far beyond sometimes what we can get our minds around. But the wonder of the reality of it all, that we have this, that we're one spirit with the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I wanted to get into another scripture. We wanted to come back and look at that one there. I don't know. Maybe we'll come back and look at it again sometime. I don't know. But that he is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. So, you know, a lot of people think, boy, you got to pray. You got to pray, stay in the, you know what I mean, to get to that place where you can hear from the Lord. To get to that place where you, where you're hearing clearly from him. See, but the bottom line is that you're joined, you're one with him now. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do a thing, at all, because you're there when you received him, and when that life came in, you're one with God now. You're one with the Lord now, and so there's no trying to get there. I mean, someone said, well, I'm trying to get into that holy place. I'm praying to get into that, you know, into that place where I can hear him, where he hears me and where I know. But listen, now you don't have to go through all that. Listen, he's right there right now. And, he's talking to you right now. You're in touch with heaven right now. Why? 'Cause right there. He's joined to the Lord is one spirit. If you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit with the Lord, period. And you don't have to try to get anywhere because you're there. All right. A lot of people trying to do something to get there a little closer, a little better, you know. Well, it's good to strive to get closer to the Lord and be more, conscious of him, you know. That's good to do that. But what I'm talking about is that you don't have to try. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to get, you know, to get yourself there. You're already there. You're already there. You're already in the holy place, man. You're already in front of the Father. You're already in Jesus, and he's communicating with you all the time. Now, the problem is we've just been so dull to it, haven't we? Yeah, I've been dull as a post, man, just not hearing him like I ought to. I mean, he's talking to me, trying to direct me, trying to help me, and I'm just dull. I'm just going to do what I want to do, you know. I mean, you know, just oblivious to it, so to speak. Why? Because everything out here is so amplified now that the fallen natural realm is amplified, see. It never should have been this way in a human being. It never should have been this way in a human being. Now, what I mean by that is where the outside, the body, in connection with the earth realm here, the natural realm, was supposed to be in control over the spirit, over you, over your soul. No, it's never supposed to be in control over your soul, ever. No, you, the soul. You were designed to dominate all this, dominate the natural realm, dominate your body, and your soul. You were made, created to dominate the body and the natural realm. Well, so we've got Christians that are being dominated by the natural realm. Is what we got today. We've got Christians that are being dominated by their body. That's what we've got today. We've got Christians that their focus is all fragmented with all the crap that's going on in this world today. That's what we got today. And that's where believers are today. And the Lord has brought that to my attention, that that's where people are today. That's where Christians are today. They're in a stupor. They're in a sleep. They're in a lull of la la land of the Matrix. That's what he showed me. Most of them, most all of them, I should say. When I say them, I mean us believers, those of us that are in Christ, and we're not seeing right. We're not perceiving right. We're not seeing things the way that ought to be seen out here. Because we're in a false perception of what's really going on here, and we're distracted with all the different things that's happening. Naturally speaking, sports, news, entertainment, the new song that's out, on and on it goes. This thing, that thing, all in the natural realm, you understand? This thing, that thing. So people spending most of the time, I mean Christians, what's called, we're dealing with Christians here on this series. If you're not a believer, you can be real quick. Just receive Jesus. And then you're one of us. That's just all there is to it. So you have the life of God. And it changes everything. And our main verse, of course, is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That says, here I'm talking about on this whole series. It says, now if anybody's in Christ, anybody, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. It says, look, behold, all things, the old things have been passed away now. When you come into Christ, the old things are passed away. They're gone. The old things that you were, the old person that you were, are all, that's all gone now. And everything has become new. Amen. So everyone that's in Christ, she's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all these things are of God. That he has, from that point on, everything's different. Well, there's a whole lot of things happening in you that he did just because you received Jesus and his life and what he did, and you identified with him by faith in the grace of God and what he did for you, and that new life has come into you. Well, there's a whole lot of things about that that you don't know. I mean, if you just did that, I mean, I'm believing somebody just did that, just said, I want Jesus, I want God, and it's received. Well, it's just that simple. You just reach out by faith in what he did. You believe he did that. You believe God poured it all on him. You believe that Jesus did what he said he did. And he did everything he said he did. So, and we get the opportunity to join into it and be a part of it. Amen. And when that happens, we become one with the Lord. One. You see, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That means we've been made into right standing. We're created into right standing with God. Can you see that? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So that is a tremendous verse. He that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Because you can sit and think about that and think about that, and you'll never plumb the depths of it. No, you won't. Because it's so vast. The vast part of it is that our interaction and our entering into that which the Lord has already done. And when we have done that, we've entered in and become one with Jesus, one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're just made that way. We're created that way. And we have a right to go to Father. A right. We ought to be hanging out with the Father. We ought to be hanging out with Jesus and spending lots of time together and understanding who we are and what we have with Him. Because this natural realm is not going to give you the truth about those things. They're not going to tell you about it. They're not going to know because they just flat don't know. They just don't know anything about it. And so these things, we've got to focus on these things. We got to pay attention to these things. We got to keep them real right there in front of our eyes all the time. Keep our focus on these things, because out here, all this stuff happening. Oh my goodness. Well, you know how it is. Next thing you know, y'all caught up in this and caught up in that, thinking about this natural thing or thinking about that thing or thinking about, no, that's not where the victory is at. That is not where the victory is. The victory is inside. So that's where your focus needs to be. Amen. Well, we wanted to get into another scripture today. The Lord wanted to do this one and this next scripture. And this is, I wanted to read in John chapter, I'll see how much time I got left. Okay, I think I can get through this. I want to read through John chapter 14, the words of the Master while he was on the earth. Now, of course, he was nearing the time, and he knew that he was nearing the time when he was going to have to go to the cross. He was aware of that. He knew that the enemy was in motion and what the enemy was doing, and he knew his part, and so this is right before all of this was taking place, you see, here in John 14. So let's read the words of the Master. Oh, my goodness. All of these, so I'm going to try not to stop. I'm going to try to read through the whole chapter, and then we'll go back and maybe see what the Lord would like to bring out today on the seminar. Amen. So we're going to John chapter 14. Well, actually, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to start here in verse 10, actually. We're going to start in verse 10 of John 14. But you can go back and read the whole chapter. You see how that lays in there, what he was saying here, starting in verse 10. All right, and that's John 14, verse 10 says, and this is the Master speaking. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me and keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I'm going to read that verse 24 again. I think I misread that. Verse 24, he said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I've said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. And that was John chapter 14, starting there in verse 10 and going through the end of the chapter. So, and you can see, boy, there's a whole lot in here. There's a whole lot in this one here. So that we can look at so we're just trying to be led what the Lord wants to bring out today. Amen. And so in verse 10 there, we started out there in John 14, says, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Isn't that powerful? Now that tells you right there that he was here on earth under the authority of the Father. And the words that he was saying and the works that he was doing were the works of the Father. And he always gave glory to the Father for doing these works and things through him. And he never received any kind of glory for that. You know, he just would always pass it to the Father, you know. And so that's the way he lived. Amen. So, but I mean, his words and his actions and the things that he did were full of power because they were God's will. That's what God sent him to do. And so these things were activated in him, and he was just simply flowing in obedience to the Father and bringing these things out on the earth. Amen. Can you see that? Amen. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father. Notice that. Remember the verse we said a while ago there in 1 Corinthians about that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We'll see here. This is what the Lord had with the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, all the things that he was doing had never been done before by a man. And so these things people had to realize, my goodness sakes, God is with them. This is God doing these things. And that's what Jesus would always say. If you don't believe me, what I'm saying, well, just believe me for the very work's sake. What happened with all these miracles? Amen. All of the wonderful things that the Father did through him. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And verse 12 there, it says, verily, verily, I say, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, look at this, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, how's that possible? For a believer to be doing the things that he did, and greater things, he says, and greater things, works than he did. because he's going to the Father. Well, how's that happen? Well, it's through the agency of the Holy Spirit in a believer that we can go and we can do the works of Jesus. Yes, because he's here. Amen. He's talking about us doing his works, doing his things. Now, that's exciting. That's an exciting verse to understand, because I want to get to the works of Jesus. Don't you? I want to be doing what he wants to do. I want to get into the greater works that he's talking about here. Don't you? Yeah, it's available to us now. You're a believer. I'm a believer. And these things are available to us. Praise God. Greater works than these. Oh my goodness. Because he's going to the Father. Well, glory to God. And the Father sent the Holy Spirit, and we've got the Holy Spirit, so we can do that, what he's talking about here. Yes, we're in the time to be doing it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now let's go to verse 13 here. It says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Well, how's that happen? Well, once again, we're one with the Lord. The verse right there simply says that you would. Now, that word "ask," see there, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that should be more of that word should be more a better translated, I should say. To be that which ye shall require. Kind of like, what would you call that? Not a receipt, but when you order something. Kind of like that. That's kind of what the word is referring, that when you order something or when you require something or some sort of a requirement. You see, for instance, somebody standing before you sick. Amen. You want to speak to that sickness. You want to deal with that sickness, get that person well. Amen. God wants that person well. See, what does he say here? See, if you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. What's he saying there? If you shall require anything in my name, I'll do it. You see? So when we speak to that sickness, we don't have to ask the Lord if it's his will for that person to be well. We already know it is. And we don't even have to ask him about that. What we need to do is we need to deal with the sickness. If the person will allow you to deal with it. And we need to deal with the sickness. And at that time, you see, we're not praying for him to heal them, because he already healed them 2,000 years ago. So what we're doing is we're requiring something, you see, in his name, in his stead. What would he do if he was standing there in front of that sick person? What would he do then? Well, obviously, if he was standing there in person, the Lord himself was standing there in person and had stood there in front of many sick people when he was here on the earth. And so he just dealt with it, you see. In the Father's name. Well, we're supposed to be the same way that he is. We're not supposed to be asking him, Lord, if it be your will to heal this person. Well, we know it's his will to heal the person. it's his will. It's what he wants. It's good. It's what he wants for that person, to be well and free of that sickness. Amen. So we don't need to ask him about that. We don't need to ask him, inquire and ask and say, Lord, is it your will for this person to be well? Is it your will for me to pray for this? Is it your will for me to speak to this person, this sickness? Is it your, no, we have to do that right here. If ye shall ask anything, or you say that really should be require. If ye shall require anything in my name, I will do it. So when a sickness comes in front of you for a person, and you want, and you don't have to ask if it's the Lord's will for them to be well, or you don't have to ask if it's the Lord's will for you to deal with that sickness. You don't have to ask anything like that. You require, you speak to the sickness, and it, like I say, you just find out where the person is. Where are they, will they receive? I mean, are they, will they allow you to talk to it, to speak to that sickness? And do, you know what I'm saying? So they, I mean, they have something to do with it, obviously, whether they can receive it or not, see. So, yeah, if you ask, or you require anything in my name. Request is another good word for that. If you request anything in my name, I'll do it. In other words, you and I are one, Ken. You and I are one. Put your name in there. Jesus and I are one. So, amen. So, when I speak to it, he's speaking to it. You see what I'm saying? Same thing. We're doing it in his stead. Glory to God. And what a privilege to do that for somebody, you know, to help somebody. Amen. But we have to know who we are and what we have and what we can do. And see, all these verses that he's speaking here was before he went to the cross. Before he went to the cross and before he was raised from the dead. And so he's speaking all of these things about the way it's going to be after he completes what he's getting ready to do. You see that? That's this whole chapter that way. Amen. So yeah, we want to get into those things, into those greater works, into those works that he was doing on the earth. We all have him. Every believer's got him. Everybody that believer's got Jesus, and you can request that healing power go in and drive that sickness out of that person. You see, if you request anything in my name, I'll do it. He's gonna do it, just like he was when he was here. The Father did those works through him, and now the Lord is doing those works through us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's a great verse. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Or if you shall request or require anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's sort of, again, if you love him, you just want to do what he says. Amen. Because it's right and it's good. And not only does he want to do it, but I want to do it. I want to do that which he wants me to do, because I'm one with him. I don't want to do anything different than what he wants to do it. But I love him. I love him, and I want to do things his way. and it's a good thing, because it's a good way. It's the best way. It's the right way. And you always feel better when you're doing things the Lord's way. And you know, because it's just then you live, basically you're living in a miracle way. You know what I mean? When you're going in his ways, it's all a miracle. It's a miracle to hear from him. It's a miracle to do that which he says. I mean, it's a miracle to be associated with the Father, associated with the Lord, and one in with him, and he one with us. The blend, the fusion, my goodness sakes. Amen. We're trying to wrap our heads around it. I hope we'll get a little more today. Amen. On this seminar. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Oh, of course, we know the Holy Spirit has come. And he did what he said, and he sent him. And the Father sent him. And listen, we have the Holy Spirit today as our guarantee that we're one with the Father. And it's through the agency of the Holy Spirit that we're one with the Lord, you see. And he does all these things through us and does all these things able to guide us and help us through the agency of the Holy Spirit that actually dwells in us and puts us in touch. More than in touch, we're in constant contact with the Lord. We're in constant contact with the Father. Praise God, because of the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Ooh, glory to God. He's going to abide with us forever. Isn't that wonderful to know that? Glory to God. Even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Powerful stuff. Glory to God. And shall be in you, and he is. And we've received him. We received Jesus. We received Jesus. We received His Spirit. Glory to God, and He dwells within us all the time, day and night. Man, what a blessing just to know that we have the great Comforter, the great mighty Holy Spirit in us, with us, infused in us and with us and through us. And we and the Father and the Lord Jesus are one now. No separation anymore between us and God. None. And with everything is instant. Everything is now in the Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. My goodness, I am running out of time again. I don't know how much further I could get here. I don't think I'd get very far, much further today. So we're going to stop here, I think, in verse 17. Let's go to verse 18 here. This says, even the Spirit of Truth. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. You know him. We know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We knoweth him. In verse 18, he goes on to say, I will not leave you comfortless. No, he's not. He's full of love. He's not going to leave us comfortless. And he goes on to say, I will come to you. How? Through the agency of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us comfortless. He is coming to us through the agency of the Holy Spirit, and he is in us and dwells in us now. So we hear directly from the Lord through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God for the Holy, because the Holy Spirit, what we hear, what we pick up here is what the Holy Spirit is giving us as the medium, as the vehicle that the Lord speaks to us personally, you see. So the Holy Spirit, what we hear, what we're hearing inside is the Holy Spirit basically repeating what the Lord is saying. Well, it's not a repeating it or an echo or anything. We're actually hearing from the Lord himself, but we're hearing him through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And we hear him instantly through the agency of the Holy Spirit, you see. So it's so when the Spirit of God is talking to you, it's Jesus talking to you. It's his Spirit. Amen. And we're one with that Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I am out of time today. And I sure do thank you for spending this time with me. And I trust that the Lord has ministered some truth to you today, that you've been able to see some things and pick up some things that maybe you hadn't seen before, realized before. And that's what we're all about here. We want to be used of the Lord to just, sometimes it's just a matter of triggering something in you. Just something that triggers or turn a switch on inside and help you to see something just a little different. Just something that comes on and you get hold of it and you grab it. Well, that's what this is all about here. And as we're talking about revelation knowledge, and what revelation knowledge is the awakening to truth. To the truth of the Lord, the truth of the way things are with us and in us and who we are and how we're made. And this connection we have, this fusion, this blending that we have with the Lord. Oh, my goodness. It is great. Well, until next time, I'm out of time today. We sure do thank you for coming and being a part of this seminar. So until next week, this is your friend Ken Fletcher saying, I love you.